This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Dakota voters approved the legacy fund in 2010. You remember that? Remember that question on the ballot? Remember what that was all about? It was a change to the state constitution. We did this. It was 10 years ago. The change said 30% of the monthly oil tax revenue needs to be socked away into a special savings account. And if we're ever going to touch it, it requires a two-thirds vote from the House and Senate to tap up to 15% of its principal in a biennium. Obviously, the fund has grown over those 10 years, and now, what, $6 billion nearly in the legacy fund? So a number of ideas on how to spend the interest, a portion of the interest, the earnings, not the actual principal. That will not be touched and can't be touched unless you have the House and Senate and a two-thirds vote, which would be obviously for extraordinary times. This was incredible visionary thinking on the part of the citizens of North Dakota. I was proud to be on that committee, the Legacy Fund Committee 10 years ago, and advocate for the passage of that particular piece of North Dakota history. And now the question is, okay, how can we use some of those earnings to do some things consistent with what the Legacy Fund was all about? So our question today is, you know, just that. Any question you have on the fund itself and about ideas to invest in North Dakota? We've asked Rich Werner to join us. Rich, of course, the majority leader, also a member of the committee. They'll be in Watford City tomorrow night and Thursday morning, taking input from folks about how that money could be spent. That'll be at the Rough Rider Center, 6:30 tomorrow night, 8:30 on Thursday morning. Also joining us today is Mike Nathy, Representative Mike Nathy, member of the House leadership on the Republican side as well. Gentlemen, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Well, we're very good. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having us on.
Good morning, Scott.
I want to start with your thoughts a little bit on sort of what you see up for grabs here, for lack of a better term, or what, you know, the lines on this discussion on each side of what we're talking about. Before we do that, Rich, maybe just talk a little bit about the process you're going through here. You've been on the road with these. Another one, as I mentioned, in Watford City coming up. What do you want? What do you want from the citizens of North Dakota at these events?
Well, we're looking for their ideas. You know, the more people that participate, the better product we're going to have. And so we just had the one in Fargo. Now we're having the second one in Watford City, and I anticipate we're going to at least do one more in Bismarck. And I have been out talking to different groups, getting information and input from different, you know, cities, counties, schools, just people in general on my own. So it is starting to form kind of what people want.
What sense do you have from the input you've gotten so far from the Fargo meeting and from the conversations you've had with different groups? What any kind of a consensus building at all?
Well, it kind of falls into three groups. Well, first of all, everybody wants a lower tax burden, and we're talking about property taxes, and they don't want to increase any other taxes, and I think this is going to definitely make it. But infrastructure, roads and bridges, they want some money for that, and we're thinking that if we put money into the highway trust fund, that money then is distributed just like the fuel tax to the state, the county, the city, the township, and transit. So a lot of people would get involved there. And in trade-off, we would not have to increase the fuel tax. Also with infrastructure, low-interest revolving loan funds, for cities to take care of their infrastructure like sewer and water and some streets. And you put that alongside of their prairie dog money, and they can do a good job of taking care of the needs in their smaller communities. The water projects, that's, you know, flood project. We need low interest revolving loan fund for water projects. And then our state interoperable radio network is another one that comes up. Those are infrastructure. Workforce, that's that'd be the second big care area. It's revolves under quality of life, schools, parks and rec, local parks and rec and statewide parks, and career academies kind of come under workforce. And then, of course, behavioral health. That comes up all the time, that we have to do something to help with our behavioral health issues, addiction issues in the state of North Dakota. We've already got a good start, but we got more to do.
Mike, I'm curious your thoughts as far as the ground rules, if you will, about, you know, there's a number of different ideas there. What buckets are these supposed to fit in? Do we have any parameters? Are there any, you know, I heard the property taxes being mentioned. Certainly people would like that, but is that what it was intended for? Or is that, you know, what some would say, just allow local governments to spend more? If you take that large chunk of that money and find out property taxes, then they just spend more. What are the rules from your perspective?
Well, I think, Scott, a lot of the rules, as you say, have to all be hashed out yet. And I think with the listening tour that Rich and his committee are going on is going to help out with a lot of that. You know, Scott, now really is a good time to start investing legacy earnings money. I think the fund has grown to a point now where we can do it. We have money now that we can invest wisely back into North Dakota to address some of our most pressing needs. So I think with this idea that we're talking about, we can have really the best of both worlds. We can invest into some of the issues that Rich had just talked about, and we can also save some of that money and keep building up the fund. So I think it's the best of both worlds. Again, getting back to your original question, though, in the details, that's all got to be worked out as time goes along. I know a lot of my colleagues strongly support doing something this time around. There is no shortage of ideas, as you know, not only from the public, but also from the legislative point of view also. So, again, I think the input that Rich's committee is getting is going to help us develop a lot of those ground rules and really give us a good direction of which way to go.
Is there much of an argument on the House side at all for reinvesting the funds? I've heard people say, put it back in, don't do anything with it to invest in, you know, any of these ideas, but rather just put it back in so the interest grows. You hearing much of that?
Yes, there's a strong feeling about making sure we put a portion back of the earnings back into the principal, but using the other part. And how much that would be, again, Scott, would have to be worked out, but there's definitely a strong feeling to do something just very much along those same lines. Like I said, it's the best of both worlds. Let's take some of this money and invest it into the state of North Dakota, in our communities, and in the issues that we need to take care of, but yet also let's save some of that earnings and keep building that fund for future generations.
How about you, Rich, on the Senate side? I mean, is that on the table too?
Well, absolutely, and I will just tell you, the range as far as putting it back ranges from about 45% to 75%. Those are the numbers that different people have come up with. Now, it'll be somewhere in there. We will be putting some of the earnings back into the principal. There's no question about that. I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're going to do is we're going to do a five-year leveling on the earnings. Average 5 years, and then take a percent of the earnings. Now, that whether we take 4% and anything that any of the earnings over 4% would then go back in, or is it 3.5%? Some have even said 3%, but we do have some things that we need to make sure that this state moves forward. And Scott, you made one comment about property tax. Remember, property tax is not a state tax, it's a local tax. And if the city, the county, or the township is taxing more than they should, the people need to go to their county commissioners, city commissioners, park district commissioners, and talk to them and say, hey, we don't want any more taxes. We got enough services, and there is a limit on the number of mills. Now, with that being said, we all know that if valuations go up, course, they can pick up more dollars. But that is a local tax, does not belong to the state of North Dakota.
Yeah, the reason I raised that is I think we've seen efforts, well-intentioned and a good use of the taxpayer dollars in the past to say the pain point is property taxes, so we're going to dedicate these funds and lower property taxes. And they're lowered for a time, and then the expenses go up, and the suggestion you have is a good one, but it doesn't seem to happen. Where most of the fingers get pointed at the legislature rather than at city and county and school boards and others that are dealing with these budgets and keep that pressure going on the property taxes on up. But the pain point is there, and it's not being fixed. So I understand why it's on the table. I'd love to fix the bigger problem and get them to spend less than to use those funds for that myself. But that's just my two cents. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Rich Wardner, Mike Napier with us. We're talking about the legacy fund and some discussions on how that how those dollars should be spent. Welcome your input as well at 701-258-0550. More after this. Don't go away.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins & Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins & Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free, no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
Ethanol brings energy and agriculture together. We're chatting with Brian Markegaard today, process engineer for Dakota Spirit, part of the Midwest Ag Energy family, in Spirit Way. What if ethanol went away? What would that mean for corn farmers? What does that mean for North Dakota?
There's about 40 employees here at the plant, right around 40. So those jobs would be gone. They're very good paying jobs. So those positions would be gone from the community, which we saw with Cargill moving out, the number of jobs that left the community. And then just from the ability to process that corn right here makes a big impact, again, with the farm community, which in this part of the world supports the local community through buying equipment and all the other things that farmers are spending money on as well. And then the trickle effect of all that money in the community is huge.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Back on what's on Your Mind, brought to you by H.A. Thompson and Sons. Over 100 years now, they've been serving folks, providing high-quality plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and mechanical contractor services. Started in Bismarck, grown and grown and grown all across North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Montana. Since the early 90s, they've been a Link service contractor, which means you can have cost-effective environmental maintenance agreements managed by H.A. Thompson & Sons. They're doing this now for about 1,000 building and business owners throughout our region, 1,000 of them, plus in the Northern Plains, and that brings them bottom line certainly, because certainty. You know what that amount's going to be because they're maintaining it. If it breaks down, they replace it, and they keep it running efficiently, so the best comfort for your operation, least amount of breakdowns, they take care of it. HATandSons.com to find out more, or call them. Any one of their locations throughout the region. H.A. Thompson & Sons, tell them Scott sent you. 21 past the hour, we continue with Rich Wardner, Senate Majority Leader, and also from the House, Leader Mike Nathy with us today on the program, Republican leadership member. And Rich is, of course, member of the Interim Legacy Fund Earnings Committee. They have been seeking input, and they're going to be doing so in Watford City tomorrow night and on Thursday. Committee meeting at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday and then 8:30 a.m. on Thursday at the Rough Rider Center in Watford City. Rich, what is the here's what I remember, and as I said earlier, I was on the committee that that helped to promote this and talk about this when it was on the ballot. And my recollection of it was that this was for big things, right? So we wouldn't touch the principal, and it would kick off earnings, and you'd do some big things with it. Infrastructure and things that, not replacing what would be normally government spending, but things you couldn't do otherwise. Is that your understanding of what the fund's for?
Well, I think to a certain extent, and when we talk about the infrastructure like roads and bridges, we cannot ever catch up. Bridges are a big issue in the state of North Dakota. And as we move forward, we don't want that burden to be on our next generation. And water projects, yeah, those are big projects. Minot needs to have flood protection. Fargo needs flood protection. We need to get water to the Red River Valley. If those aren't legacy projects, I don't know what is. And then when we talk about workforce, everybody talks about, hey, we got to have more people in the tech area, the career area, and we're just not getting the job done. We do need to invest in career academies. We need to take this population that's growing, these young people, and get them trained, them, and so they stay here. It's hard to recruit people from other states and bring them here. But if we train our own, we will have our own workforce. And then, of course, when it talks about behavioral health, hey, it's something we need to address or we're going to go downhill. That affects the workforce. So everything we've talked about, I think, is really important in legacy. Now, when you talk about like a petrochem project in the state of North Dakota, yes, there will be even money for that. Remember, we're not calling them buckets, Scott. We're calling it streams. It's streams of money that is the earnings. And as it comes out, we're going to use these streams for different projects. And I really believe that we will have some project in the state of North Dakota that we will help with out of this legacy money that's going to bring jobs, industry, value added to the state of North Dakota.
Mike, how about you? Do you see any, you know, do's and don'ts as far as where those streams should go?
Well, I think Rich has hit on a lot of the hot topics once. And you know, you talk about legacy projects, and I don't think there's anything that fits that category more than, say, education, the K-12 education funding that we did here. You talked about property tax earlier in the show. If there's one way you can affect property taxes, if the steps up and pays more of K-12 education. And as you know, in 2013, the state stepped up to fund around 80% of education. That would be one way I think you could help with the property tax argument and use that legacy fund money to educate our kids in the K-12 system. Also, some of the money could be used for higher education. Higher education as far as for some research projects, research into the oil fields out there to help with enhanced recovery, to help with our energy industry up in the coal plants and those sorts of things. So I do think there is a lot of time and discussion we can put into that as far as using some of this money. So I think those are all big legacy-type projects that will have a lasting effect on the state.
All right. You've heard some ideas that have been tossed around. What are yours? Let us know at 258-0550. Texter says, let's establish scholarships for North Dakota residents that want to learn a trade at one of our state colleges. BSc, NDSS, you have to graduate and you have to be employed within a reasonable time, and then that debt is forgiven. Mike, there's an education component. What do you think?
Well, again, I think it's a good idea. I know that idea has been run through the legislature before in the past. Obviously, we can take a look at that. There are, I mean, we have many programs for scholarships for our students who go through higher ed. A lot of scholarships and help students who go through the trades, through the trade school. As you know, Scott, we have over 30,000 jobs that need to be filled in the state. And we are seeing the private sector step up, helping with the students to get through college, helping to pay for the kids to go through college. So that's a great idea. It's not a new idea, but it's a great idea to talk about, and we can just see what happens.
Travis in Minot for our guest Rich Wardner, Mike Nathy, talking Legacy Fund today on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Travis.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the Legacy Fund first, but then I heard a little bit of the conversation while I was on hold, and, you know, what you pay for something generally is what it's worth. So when it comes to education, you know, I told my kids since they were young that they were paying for their college. And I tell you what, they've worked hard. They've gotten great grades, and they value that investment. Anytime we give that away or parents pay for their kids' college, you always hear the stories about how serious they took school, and sometimes they took a year or two to actually get serious and maybe never did. So anyway, I'm not a big fan of, you know, throwing money at these things. There needs to be a value on it. Secondly, the legacy. The legacy would be to lower or eliminate the citizens' tax burden in this state, number one. And then, and if only then, there were dollars that we could do to make additional improvements, let's consider it then. But first and foremost, let's get rid of the, let's make the legacy a zero tax burden in this state.
Travis, we'll put that question to Senator Wardner. I mean, of the streams, what do you anticipate percentage-wise maybe you might end up going towards tax relief?
Well, anytime you do, you work with roads, it's going to be tax relief because people demand good roads, and it's going to come from someplace. Or it's good, you're not going to have the service. And if we're going to have commerce in this state, we got to have good roads. If we're going to bring a workforce in, which we need in the oil patch, we need to have good infrastructure. Now, I know that people are already talking about getting rid of the property tax. If you get rid of the property tax, get ready to go to Bismarck every year and beg, because local control will be gone.
Travis, appreciate your call and input there. Rich making an interesting point that anything in the way of infrastructure would be a relief on taxpayers as well. Jim in Fargo, Sean in West Fargo, when we come back, plus lots of text for our guests on What's on Your Mind. We'll continue after this.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next-generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
U.S. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Following days of attacks from other Democratic candidates who've accused him of trying to buy the presidential nomination, Michael Bloomberg's huge ad spending seems to be working. A national poll out today from PBS and Marist College shows him in second place. Bernie Sanders with 31% support, Bloomberg with 19%. Joe Biden's third with 15%. Bloomberg's position means he qualifies for tomorrow's debate in Nevada. NASCAR team owner Joe Gibbs apologizing for his winning team's celebration after Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500 last night. Gibbs said the team quickly stopped the victory lane celebration when they learned how serious Ryan Newman's last lap crash was.
In a shower of sparks on his roof.
That is heard on Fox. Miraculously, they say Newman does not have life-threatening injuries. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Daddy's belt, Mama's drapes.
A segment with our guest Rich Wardner and Mike Nathy talking about the Legacy Fund today. Questions or comments, welcome for these guys. In this final segment, 800-228-0550. I got to tell you about the first steps that you can take towards a fresh start this spring by enrolling in an undergraduate, graduate, or certificate program at the University of Mary. Here's the deal. The University of Mary is an affordable choice to enhance your skills and advance your career. Mary values your prior education and your life experience. You get credit for that. Contact them today to find out how your past experience can count for credit. Classes are available online and in the evening, allowing you to choose the best way to learn while still working and fulfilling your other responsibilities. Classes start May 4th. Learn more at online.umary.edu/discovermore or call the University of Mary 701-355-8030. When you mention you heard this on What's on Your Mind, your application fee is waived. All right? umary.edu/701-355-8030. All right, let's get back to the phones for Rich Wardner and Mike Nathy here talking about what to do with the Legacy Fund. They'll be in Watford City asking that question tomorrow night, Rough Rider Center, 6:30 p.m., and then again Thursday morning at the Rough Rider Center at 8:30. So take that in if you're out near the beautiful Watford City area. Let's go to Sean in West Fargo for our guest. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on a previous caller talking about bringing in more labor and stuff. And couple that with everybody who's been talking about free education and, you know, government-sponsored education, why has no one brought up job support? I mean, it irritates me that everybody's like, oh, we need to support our community, we need to support our youth to get them into working trade skills. Well, our government already does that since 1964 with job support. And that is fully available to a lot of everybody, you know, regardless of where you live. And it's, you know, basically government-funded training to become a welder, electrician, plumber, a chef, nursing, border patrol, all sorts of ordeals. And, you know, it would just be awesome if people would push more on people going to job board than just increasing taxes for free education.
Either one of you, go ahead and take that.
Well, they're not. We're not going to increase taxes. We're not going to increase taxes. We're going to use a stream of revenue that comes from the legacy earnings. And so we're not going to increase taxes for this. And I wish that more people would take advantage of those programs. I just want to say one thing that
when it comes to our some of our behavioral health issues in our school systems where we're having behavioral problems, one of the things that would help is if many of these students, instead of sitting in a Brit-lit class or some class like that, they could be out learning a trade, learning a skill, and then when they're done with their high school career, they can go right to work. They're not interested in sitting in a desk. They're not interested. They want to do things with their hands. And career in tech allows them to do that and to work in their interest area.
I guess
that's
he didn't.
Where, well, what he just said. That's exactly what Job provides is hands-on training. And yes, you do have a class if you want to get your high school diploma or GED, but it's a lot of hands-on training to learn the skill and have a year apprenticeship by the time you get done with the program and any trade you want to do. And they do provide prepared behavioral health services. They provide health care. They provide all these support systems for young students who are struggling with their life to improve and make better on themselves. So I think that with the Legacy Fund, instead of creating a whole new program, we should expand and really push for more of a job board type scenario that does encompass all that stuff already.
Sean, great comments and appreciate your input very much. Thank you. We're going to keep rolling because we have lots of calls to get to here at 701-258-0550. Mike, clearly Senator Wardner isn't aware of the Montevideo school system because Britlett was pretty good. It still contributes to what I do every day. I don't know about you. You know, did you get that out of Montevideo?
I think it produced two pretty good graduates. That
I don't have a problem with Brett Lent. I'm just saying that some don't.
Oh, I love it. Jim and Fargo, you're next for our guests. Go ahead.
Are you talking to Jim?
Talking to Jim. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, was it Grand Forks County and Fargo County? Were they the two largest counties that voted Hillary in? Or wired Hillary in?
I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
Cass and Grand Forks, probably. I percentage-wise, I don't know, but numbers-wise, probably for sure.
Yeah, because that just tells you how lousy the school system is. I mean, who would want to put all their taxpayer money into school systems like colleges that are indoctrinating liberal people and then how they love to spend our money foolishly. This money should go back to the taxpayer, you know, the property tax owner, because I tell you what, they know how to spend their money better than the gals are in government.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to anybody advocate here for less money to education. We'd all love a little more accountability, I think, on some things. But I think the one area you guys have both touched on is this behavioral health area, because, you know, you talk to teachers now, and I've talked to leadership, talked to teachers, and you understand that really, you know, the amount of behavioral health issues present in schools means you can't teach. You know, your teachers aren't teaching; they're behavioral health specialists. So there definitely is something that needs to be done there. And I know the Department of Human Services is working closely with experts to try and figure this out, maybe get some help into the schools, but it's definitely an issue. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it really is, Scott. It really is, Scott. My daughter's a special ed teacher here in Bismarck, and it is a huge need for, say, special ed teachers that we have around the state because of the behavioral health issues of these students that come in. She deals mainly with elementary, and she sees it firsthand every day. And when I talk to her and she tells me what she sees and everything else, it's amazing. And it is a growing problem. And I really think the general public doesn't quite fully understand how big a problem this is coming down the pike.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bill and Bismarck, go ahead for our guests. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Hello, how are you?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
I disagree with the one person who talked about you get what you pay for. And the reason I disagree with all that stuff is that we're in a throwaway society where businesses just flush employees every single day, and those educational programs really aren't worth anything. I think if the business owners train their own people, they'd value them, and then during every recession, they wouldn't just flush them into the gutter. If you spent maybe a year or two training the people inside, you'd keep them and not be such jerks and just line your own pockets.
Boy, you're describing something I don't see very often, Bill, especially in a marketplace where there are very low unemployment and people are starving for a workforce. You can't really afford to, as you say, flush your workforce. I don't know where you're seeing that, but I guess I'll spin it into a positive. And Rich, say, do you agree with him that training in any form for a current workforce is, out of that workforce stream you're talking about, worthy of the dollars of the legacy fund?
Well, absolutely. The better trained our people are, the better job they do, and they work for the employer, and the more important they come and the more valued they are. So I think it helps all of us. And remember, when they are working, they're paying taxes, and they help everybody. They are a positive to society.
Can I interrupt you there?
Sure.
Okay. I think that a tech program takes 2 years, a college program takes 4. I think it takes a maximum of 6 months to train an employee to do what you want them to do in your company. It takes only 6 months, and they really shouldn't have to go outside and spend thousands and tens of thousands of money in an academic environment, which is really just a sales mill. You either value the people you train or you don't. And if you don't, you come into my company with all this alphabet soup. No, just train me for 6 months. And if you don't want me, I'll just go someplace else because I know you're going to flush me anyway.
All right, Bill. I hope you don't have such a dire outlook about other things in life because I just don't see that as the way most businesses treat their employees. But appreciate your opinion nonetheless. Brent in Jamestown for our guest. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make some comments about the property tax thing. Yeah, I know it was, years ago they had it on the ballot to abolish property taxes and it got turned down. But when you keep getting hammered with taxes over and over again and it doesn't keep up with the cost of wage increases, you can't gain anything. And it gets tough to be able to manage a house and afford a house. And, for example, Jamestown made a mistake on my property taxes by $100,000. So my taxes this year went up 58%. There's nothing I can do about it but take the hit. And it just makes me frustrated. Doesn't even want you to own a house in Jamestown, for example. Where can we get relief? Because nothing ever becomes to get us the relief.
Rich, you want to take that first?
Well, I'm just going to say there was relief. In 2013, the state legislature took 115 mills away from the local property tax payer for education. And we've stuck with that. And that is up to $1.1 billion of biennium that could be on the property taxpayer. But it goes back to what I said earlier. The property tax does not a state tax. It's a local tax. That's what the locals use for services. Now, I do understand one thing, that we could even do more in funding K-12 education. And I think that's something that we're looking at too, that we can do more to take the burden off of the local property taxes for education. But when it comes to county, city, township, park board, that is local. You need to talk to your local commissioners.
Yeah,
they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Okay, Brent says they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. And then, Mike, what was your comment? Go ahead.
Well, I've heard callers like this before, and I do agree with them. It's frustrating and it's maddening. But as we've said a couple times, this is not a state tax. We do not control this. We have tried many times to help to try to control it, and we couldn't. The two ways that we've controlled it and I think been successful has been paying for county services, social services, and the K-12 formula. And, you're talking to a guy, I have my house property taxes, I have a business. I mean, I pay my fair share of property taxes on that. And, I've heard the governor say it, we've said it for years, if you're unhappy with your property taxes, go to the people that do it, the city, the county. They're the ones that are assessing. They're the ones that assess it, collect it, and spend it, not the state. They have to vote better people into those seats.
Brent, thanks for the comment. And, gentlemen, if you can, stick with us for another segment. It's a short one, but we'll get to at least more of these calls and lots of texts on this question of the legacy fund spending.
Did you procrastinate all year about that foundation repair project, and now you think it's too late? Hey, Lacey here with Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. No need to worry, we've got you covered. Whether you need waterproofing, drain tile, a crack repaired, or help stabilizing that settling foundation, don't wait.
Call 701-280-7038 and ask us about our winter discount, or go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
I have neck problems, and my friend Vince Webker from Hot Springs Spas and Pool Tables 2 said, Scott, you have a hot tub. You bought it from us. Neck problems, back problems, you can help, right?
Definitely, you need to get in that. It's going to help loosen up the muscles. The blood's going to flow a little bit better. Everything good is going to happen from sitting in the hot tub. That's why you have it for days like when you have pain, when you don't sleep, when you can't walk. Sit in your hot tub. It'll do miracles.
Come see him at Hot Springs Spas and Pool Tables 2, Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks, and Minot.
Hi, I'm Elise Pucklich of Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family-owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
Need a tough, high-performance baler that's affordable, too? New Holland RF Series fixed chamber round balers from your local Northern Region New Holland dealer make it easy to create quality 4x4 and 4x5 bales. Extra-wide pickups easily handle large swaths and windrows. And a combination of floor rolls and closely spaced slats start bales quickly. Visit your local Northern Region New Holland dealer today and ask about New Holland RF Series round balers. They're the simple, affordable way to make quality bales.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Just 10% off your entire bill, plus an additional 10% off for active and retired military and first responders at SchwannBuickGMC.com on this trip. Make sure you check out the latest at SchwannBuickGMC.com.
It's a little John Fogerty center field because the Twins spring training is underway. How about that? Yeah. All showing up and going to work. All right, our final segment on our conversation today on the Legacy Fund. Rich Wardner, the Senate Majority Leader, is with us, member of the Interim Legacy Fund Earnings Committee. Also have the House Representative here. Mike Nathy is here, Republican from Bismarck, and getting some input from the listeners. Lots of conversation, enjoying it all. Here's a text from Scott. Says, K-12 public schools are an institution created by our state constitution. They are thus a state enterprise and the responsibility of the state for funding. Claiming high property taxes are a local issue is only partially true because of the state's constitutional role in public education. Either one of you want to take that?
Well, he's absolutely right, Scott. We are constitutionally bound to help fund education. And as you know, in 13, we mentioned it earlier, we increased the funding from about 45% to almost 80%. And funding, and what that resulted in was a huge property tax decrease across the state. And so, I mean, we are always going to fund K-12. We're constitutionally bound to do it. There's a lot of discussion as far as what that level should be. Should that be 80%? Should it be 100%? You know, those are all discussions we need to have. But those are actions that the legislature has taken that have directly affected and reduced property tax.
Texter says,
"If you want to say this,
go ahead. Rich.
I just want to say, at 80%, we're pretty close to funding the core of education, not the frills, but the core. Maybe it should be 85, but we were pretty close. Now it slipped a little bit, but we're close."
Texter says, "If you buy property, expect to pay property tax. Quit relying on us, the oil well owners and mineral rights owners." What do you think of that, Rich?
Well, I would say that's a good point because the revenue that's in the legacy fund has come from an oil tax. It has not come from the people. It came from a certain entity. It belongs to the people of North Dakota, no question about it. But it's a windfall for the state of North Dakota. And so that would be redistribution of wealth if we're going to use it then to lower property taxes across the state, which many people are against. But it would be a definite redistribution of wealth.
Another texter says, "Scott, I'm a council member in Northwest North Dakota. We're looking at redoing our infrastructure. We're looking at low-interest loans from the state. My question is, why are we borrowing our own money?"
Well, we've, through Prairie Dog and through the in lieu of property taxes back to the oil counties and stuff like that, we've probably done as much as we can, but many of the political subs say, you know, we need some more resources. If we had some low interest loans, like 2% loans, then we could get our infrastructure done in a timely manner and would cost us less in the long run in our community if we had some loan money. We don't have enough money to do grants for everybody. And I know, Scott, I've had people email me and say, the state is drunk with money. No, we are not. We're trying to manage this cash to the best interest of the people of North Dakota.
Pat in Minot for our guest. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi. I have this legacy fund. Most of the calls, it looks to me like, are coming from the east who have no idea what it's like in the north or in the west. And so, in my opinion, there's so many needs out here in the patch, and I think half of those earnings should stay in the West and take care of needs out here instead of being distributed to the people that don't know a thing about what's going on out here. There's two particular needs that I can think of right away, and that Highway 23 from 83 to Watford City, especially Newtown to Watford City, is probably the most dangerous road in the state. You know, something should be done with that. Another thing is the school in Williston, and to me, that's part of the infrastructure. These schools in these oil-impacted areas, our infrastructure, and they can't keep up with that growth, and they don't have the money to expand the facilities. And so
all right, let me get to the answer here for you, Pat. One part of that is, okay, 30% of this money comes, I mean, the dollars are oil funds, right, that are going to the legacy fund. So should the oil patch and where the infrastructure is more needed get a lion's share of the, a disproportionate share, if you will, because of the fact they're funding it? Do you agree with that, Rich?
Well, I do, and we've got a formula in place that's working, but the telephone caller does make a good point. We do have one area, and that is
We need to construct more schools out here. If we're going to draw the workforce, if we're going to provide a quality education to our children, we do need money for construction. That is the only area that we haven't hit upon. So he makes a good point, and I'm just going to tell you that it's rolling around in the back of some people's heads how we're going to do that. So I appreciate the comment.
All right, Mark and Grand Forks, real quick with your comment. We're running short on time here. Go ahead.
Earlier, one of the gentlemen mentioned that the public wouldn't have any clue about the actual behavioral issues in the schools. And I would actually like to say that it's worse than he even alluded to. And the schools are not being punished. They're not being allowed to punish these students because of stupid policy that makes absolutely no sense. And I would suggest the reason to vote no for property tax is to punish these schools because they, much like they are not punishing the kids, they need to, themselves, these municipalities need to be punished, and there's only one way to do that, and that's to take away money from them. I don't see any other way. There's more teachers than students, practically, if you count the paras in the
Mark, do me a favor, call again. We have more time to explore your comments. We're out of time, so we're not going to have a chance to explore it today. Rich Wardner, Mike Nathy, thank you both very much for participating in this discussion. First of many, we'll keep this conversation going. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thank you,
Scott. Yep. Out of time for today. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Agriculture feeds the world. Energy shines the light upon it. North Dakota is blessed to have an abundance of both. Wind energy helps keep our electricity reliable and low cost and sends new property tax revenue to 28 North Dakota counties. Landowners benefit from offering their private property as part of wind farms by giving them a steady stream of reliable income on their property for decades. It's a win-win situation. Wind energy and agriculture, a great partnership for North Dakota's future. This message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Hi, this is Andy Murdoch with Pfeiffer's Auctioneers, inviting you to any one of these exceptional upcoming farm retirement equipment auctions featuring late model John Deere R-Series four-wheel drive and track tractors, a 2019 DB60 corn planter, and more in Starbuck, Minnesota on March 12th. Then on March 21st and March 26th, Pfeiffer's will be offering an entire fleet of late model Case IH sprayers, quad tracks, 9230 combines, a Claus 750 combine, Challenger Series tractors, trucks, trailers, and more near Richardton in New England, North Dakota. For online bidding and complete details, log on to Pfeiffer's.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.